This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello, this is Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading summaries of articles on oncology, the skull base, traumatic brain injury, and pituitary surgery, published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on September 20th, 2013. Quality of life following endoscopic endonasal resection of anterior skull base cancers. A clinical article by Paolo Castelnuovo and colleagues. For several decades, the exclusive goal in the management of anterior skull base malignancies has been to increase survival rates. Recently, given the improved prognosis achieved, more attention has been focused on patient quality of life as well. Producing data on patient quality of life in this field is hampered by both the rarity of the neoplasm and the lack of specific questionnaires. The authors assessed health-related quality of life in a homogeneous cohort of 153 patients affected by anterior skull base cancers who had undergone radical endoscopic endonasal resection. Data from this study showed that endoscopic endonasal resection led to either complete or at least partial recovery of a patient's quality of life within the first postoperative year. Worse outcomes were associated with several variables: a patient age over 60 years, expanded surgical approaches with transnasal craniectomy, and postoperative radiotherapy. The specific symptoms domain on the questionnaire was the principal domain involved because of the sinonasal morbidity that gradually improved with time. Incorporating a quality of life questionnaire both preoperatively and postoperatively in the evaluation of patients with skull base cancer will enable the surgeon to better understand the impact of treatment on the daily lifestyle of these patients and consequently to identify the best treatment option for a given patient. Safety and efficacy of early thromboembolism chemoprophylaxis after intracranial hemorrhage from traumatic brain injury. A clinical article by Ali Azam Farouki and co-workers. Neurosurgeons and others have been fearful of the potential negative consequences of chemoprophylaxis for thromboembolic disease in patients with traumatic brain injury, particularly progression of intracranial hemorrhage, even though safety has been demonstrated for other traumatic injuries. To assess the hypothesis that early chemoprophylaxis after injury is safe and effective, the authors studied traumatic brain injury patients with intracranial hemorrhage who had stable findings on head computed tomography 24 hours after the injury was treated using a chemoprophylaxis protocol of either Lovenox or heparin. The authors compared these patients with a cohort of patients with traumatic brain injury treated prior to the implementation of the protocol who did not receive routine chemoprophylaxis. The authors found that deep venous thrombosis and pulmonary embolism occurred less often with the chemoprophylaxis protocol than before the protocol, 0 and 0.78% versus 5.6 and 3.7%, respectively. In addition, no differences in the rate of progressive intracranial hemorrhage between protocol and pre-protocol patient cohorts were observed, 0.7% and 2.8%, respectively. Based on these results, the authors conclude that the use of chemoprophylaxis in traumatic brain injury 24 hours after stable head CT is safe and decreases the rate of DVT formation. Individualized surgical strategies for Rathke cleft cyst based on cyst location. A clinical article by Jun Fan, Yuping Peng, and co-workers. The relationship between the Rathke cleft cyst and the normal pituitary gland varies in different individuals. Taken together with the need to avoid injury to residual normal gland tissue, this anatomical variability means that a single surgical approach cannot be optimal for all lesions. In this paper, the authors present a large case series involving 87 patients with Rathke cleft cyst who had surgical treatment at their hospital over a 10-year period. They describe their experience with transphenoidal and transcranial approaches, including the supraorbital keyhole approach, as well as with different extents of resection. They compare the surgical outcomes. They conclude that it is reasonable to adopt individualized surgical strategies for Rathke cleft cyst based on cyst location. Moreover, their results reveal that radical resection may not reduce the recurrence rate, but does increase the risk of complications. Their experience also suggests that the endonasal approach is more appropriate for primarily intracellular cysts, while craniotomy is recommended for purely or mainly supracellular lesions. Effect of dural detachment on long-term tumor control for meningiomas treated using Simpson grade 4 resection. A clinical article by Yuta Fukushima and colleagues. This article presents the results of recent research conducted at the University of Tokyo into surgical strategies to improve long-term tumor control for intracranial meningiomas that are not amenable to gross total resection. The authors investigated factors related to prolonging the time period from the initial surgery to retreatment for patients with meningiomas treated by Simpson grade 4 resection. They found that factors including age younger than 50 years, post-resection volume of 4 cm cubed or more, lack of dural detachment, and skull base location were associated with significantly shorter retreatment-free survival after Simpson grade 4 resection. Multivariate analysis also revealed that lack of dural detachment and skull base location were independent risk factors for the necessity of retreatment. If Simpson grade 4 resection is strategically planned before surgery or tactically selected during surgery, this research shows that dural detachment may be a beneficial procedure for better long-term tumor control in cases in which the procedure itself does not carry significant risks. Tumor location is, of course, a non-modifiable factor. However, the present study sheds light on the importance of the continued analysis of seemingly minor surgical nuances and strategies, besides minimizing the residual volume to improve outcomes after meningioma resection. Thank you for listening. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is now available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.